Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, happy days and sunny days are here again, Dr. Price in Tulsa. Welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Well, I am so glad to be here. And guess what? I, too, am excited about sunny days because, you know, we had a couple of weeks last week where, we didn't get much sun, but we did get some very much needed rain because our state had been quite dry while everything else was drenched. So I'm excited about the rain, but I do bless God for the sun. Kind of makes the show just a little bit more up for me. And so I'm excited about it. How are you doing, Ashley? Are you geared up for our show?
I'm geared up for our show, Dr. Price, because I know it's always going to be something hot off the press. I was a little frustrated, I have to admit, a few moments ago because I haven't had time to read your Facebook post today, and I really wanted to get in it, but I didn't want to rush that work. I'm going to go to that after the show, but welcome to everybody. And remember, if you want to talk to Dr. Price, press 1 when you call in to get in line to speak with her. But I am excited about today's show.
And tell me, because I know you always get a chance to get the callers early. It is amazing to me and such a blessing to know that we do get people who call early and get in queue. So tell me, what else is making you excited about today's show? Since you are my prophet.
Well, set up. Just the wisdom that comes forth, I know specifically you are addressing the person who is on the line, but I know there's always something for us to take from it. I know today is going to be a powerful show, the wisdom that is going to come forth out of your mouth. God says, you know, take it to the max today, whatever that means. I'm thinking, I don't even think you hold back anyway, but, you know. So whatever revelation, whatever word you have, I'm postured. I have my laptop open. My fingers primed to take my notes and to see what God is saying to set us up for the future, which is quickly becoming the now. So I'm hot about that. We've been having breakthroughs all over the place in PPM Global Resources, Dr. Paula Price's ministry and company. And so I know you are fully loaded with power today for what God has for his body. And like I say, it's Thursday. The clinic is open. The doctor is in. Heal us.
Woo! Well, you know, I'm excited. And you do seem charged, you know. And we had such great prayer this morning. As a matter of fact, Ashley, you mentioned the Facebook post. And I felt really pressed of God to put it out there before I got on my show. Because usually after the show, I'm into something else. But I did put it out there this morning because God wanted to say something that I received in prayer. And so for those of you all who want a little tip, it's about the kingdom shifting to God's organic diet. So that ought to be a good little cliffhanger. Just think about it, because that's what God is. He's shifting. We're going completely cold turkey on organic in some areas. It's going to be very much fun. Well, actually, we're almost at our forum. We don't have long to go, and I've been hearing about the registrations, which are clicking up. People are bringing groups and everything. So I'm excited about that, and I know that you have had to open up our room block several times so far, and we still have at least 3 or 4 more weeks to go.
We do. And, we have about 4, 4.5. You know, I take every week I can get, counting down to an event. But we do. I just talked to the hotel again yesterday, and I was like, you know, I got some calls, people trying to get a room, more people coming up from the south, the southlands of the nation. And what was the other direction? Maybe Chicago. I'm not quite sure, but I know one is in the south, and we're just excited that people are coming and making their way and making it happen. This is certainly not the year to miss the Tulsa Prophetic Forum or the Apostolic Summit, for that matter, because of what God is doing Prophet Jonathan Ferguson is coming back this year. Of course, you will be there. We will be there, and we're just excited at what the Lord is doing. He's you know, he's kind of telling us, but not.
I know. Well, we have Apostle Nona Parker, who's showing up for us this year, and we have also Dr. Terry Thompson, who is our beloved giant out of Texas. And so I'm looking forward to it. We've got Apostle Sally showing up, and we've got some good stuff plan. Now, here is what I wanted to share with people about the forum, and then I'm going to shift into my admonishment, exhortation. Not sure what we're going to call it. You know, actually, we got to come up with a name for that. But anyway.
It's business to say. We have to name it after the fact so we know what actually just happened to us. Sometimes we walk away saying, what just happened to my life? In a very good way, but how did God run up on me again?
I tell you, bless his heart. Well, whatever we're going to call it, you know, one thing I know, we roll out something long enough, eventually our listeners will tell us what they call it. Somebody's going to give us some sort of little capture or something, and it'll be great. It'll stick. But one of the things that I want to talk about at the forum this year, which is why you want to press your way. We are not just going to talk to you about prophecy and how to prophesy. You're not going to go through a whole academic trek on the 8th century prophets. We're not doing that, even if that pops up from time to time. What you are going to do is to understand the prophetic in the now. And we always dub this our Daniel prophetic era because we don't realize that we are in a particular era. Daniel's era of the prophetic, very different. And the things that are happening to us and what God is unfolding and what's happening on the world front, very interesting. You know, it's very interesting that we have this Daniel prophetic era, and most of our prophets are still in, we don't even know what era. You know, a lot of the people who are prophets today are still locked on to hiding in a closet, sitting in the prayer closet or at their personal altar at home or whatever they do, and just letting God download to them. Now, here's the issue. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing whatsoever. But understand this. Even if you can hear from God 100% correctly, you still don't know it except by your own standard and your own measurement. And the last thing you want to do as a prophet is to measure yourself by yourself or measure yourself by what you get from being by yourself. And so the prophetic is for the kingdom. It's for the body. God wants people to hear what's going on. He'd like to give us advance notice. Unfortunately, what we call advance notice is usually late. And actually, you and I had an opportunity to just tap into and to discuss recently the sweeping witchcraft, darkness-laden movies and shows that are coming out. Everybody's dealing with the afterlife but the church. Everybody's dealing with the heavens as how they think it's going to go, but us who are supposed to have the answers. You know, we have one or two shows or movies, and we've got a slew of demonic things or aliens. And did you notice actually how much we are blowing up the planet and destroying mankind? Nobody put that together, that we are literally watching the entertainment industry prophesy the destruction of the earth, the demise of the planet, and the humiliation and brutality of humanity. And we call it entertainment. It has come to the point that we find it entertaining to watch ourselves blown up, destroyed, brutalized by extraterrestrials or criminals. It depends, you know, extraterrestrials, intraterrestrials, it doesn't matter. Terrestrials altogether. But hear this. There is a reason why these things are flooding at this time. And you, as a prophet or prophetic person, or you a person who just belongs to Jesus Christ, you should know those reasons and tap into it. This year's prophetic forum will be unlike any other I've ever done because we are informing and arming you. And you need to recognize that however way your wonderful prophetic company is teaching you how to prophesy, you're going to come up short on what God is doing. And that takes nothing from the training. I celebrate every prophetic trainer out there, every prophetic educator. I'm telling you, so this takes nothing from you. But this thing has been ramped up. I mean, the enemy has ramped this thing up, and we're not. And when you think about the prophetic today, what we're looking at is the prophetic trying to emulate the darkness, which is trying to emulate Satanism. We're trying to act like devils and witches, talking about we representing Jesus Christ. Who sold us that bill of goods? Who in the world said, well, if we can do it too, works in Christ. Christ never wants to do it too. He wants to do it first. He wants to do it best. He wants to do it fast. And I'm telling you, I'm saying to you all today, if the Lord will give you grace, and I pray that he will, you want to press your way. We are dealing with some serious issues, and God is banking on us, and he's trying to bank on us. He can't bank on us because we're too busy excited about the old move. We're still running to conferences for somebody to tell us our phone number. That is sad. That is so, I mean, that is primitive prophetic. Talk about at its crudest level, somebody can tell you your phone number while you're holding your smartphone in your hand. And we think that that's worth thousands and thousands of dollars of investment. Somebody's telling you your bank account, your address, your check number, giving away your identity to the thieves in the midst. And we think that's prophetic. That is not where we are. And while we were playing politics, because they reduced us to politics and party games, while we were doing that, our adversary, the devil, who has been walking back and forth as a roaring lion, has been setting the stage to do some powerful things. But I want to tell you on the upside of this thing, but God is not done yet. The Lord Jesus has a plan. And his plan can include you. But the idea that you can just keep going along, dry along so, and still be equipped for what's to come, you are deceiving yourself. Anybody who is seriously about winning trains to win. Anyone who is persuaded that they are called to conquer prepares to conquer. And so this is not going to be a spiritual dispensation that you get in a vision and a dream and you just run with it, because I don't care if you get an entire portrait in a dream that God says you can paint. You still have to learn how to handle a brush, and you still need to put brush to canvas. So here's what I would suggest to you, and I'm encouraging you with all my heart. This has been a very dynamic 2 weeks for me, but I'm telling you, you need to find out where you fit and how God is going to use you in this Daniel era, not in how it was when you know, Evangelist Dustin was dead and Pastor Dustin was. That's not it. We are now gearing up for the prophet's role in this thing, and we're gearing up for the prophet's resources to fulfill that role. If that is who you are, if you're a prophetic church, if you are a prophetic pastor, if you are a Christian who can tap into and see the signs of the times, you need to press your way. This is important. This is not like before, well, you know, just come to my party. I'm not inviting you to my party. This is not my Sweet 16 coming out. This is a call to readiness. And God wants to ready you for what he's doing. And a lot of this stuff, you don't even know. You're all following these movies and chasing these shows down and whatever, and you have no idea what God wants you to get out of them. Nobody is trying to tell you go back into a hole and bury your head and not know what's going on. But you need to see what God wants you to get out of this stuff. And you need to do it. I challenge everyone who's listening to me now, I want you to just go to the guide. You don't even have to watch it. And see how many shows are destroying mankind. How many shows are destroying your planet. How many shows are talking about extraterrestrials and demons coming up from hell again to brutalize mankind. Who is it that hates humanity so that you would convince people to think it's fun to self-destruct? There is something crazy about that. And I would think somebody would ask a question. You may, and we don't win. You know, we don't win. Stuff coming out the sky. stuff coming up from the ground, elements, everything is better than humanity. Everything is tougher than man. Everything is more cherished, more valued than man. I watched on the Science Channel an entire documentary of why humanity needs to get off the planet and let the planet just live by itself. Who does that? Where is that coming from? Don't you want to know? Aren't you the least bit curious? So I did that. That's my commercial. I can have a commercial. Did you know that actually I can have a commercial? That is my commercial, but it's more importantly, it's my exhortation. I urge you to press your way if you know God is dealing with you about some things. You're going to get answers, revelation, and insight, and we're not just going to talk about what happened in your prayer closet and how God gave you somebody's address, birthday, name, rank, and serial number, address, or come on here, apartment number. Hey, how about your even your postbox number? Come on, guys. Who wants to call that the prophetic? That cannot be all God has, because if that's the case, then we have a problem, because there is no counterbalance to the insanity that is taking over right now. And what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do, and I say the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, what he wants to do is to raise up counterbalancing and counteracting forces of light. We already know what the darkness can do. They are so bold now, they don't even care. They're going to tell you that people making themselves God out of clay and plastic. Come on. That is just insane. And we are buying into that, and we're still living in a place of smugness, this smug bubble that says, well, it doesn't matter. We serve the true and living God. Well, it doesn't matter. Jesus is Lord. Well, it doesn't matter what they do, because Jesus is in control. God is in control. We're living in this smug bubble that is about to be burst. And I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the living God, you need to arm up and give up, and you need to know what you're doing. Because just because Jesus is Lord does not mean that he still did not have to send a flood to the planet. He still did not have to rain down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah and all of that. Just because he's Lord doesn't mean that he's going to just jump in and fight our battles for us. He wants us to work with him. He does not want us to make him our slave. He is not our slave. He's not our little android that we command to go and fight for us so that we don't have to take a hit or a bullet or anything like that. That is not how this works. And if you read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's the prophets that kick-started. It's the prophets that guarded. It's the prophets that regulated. Come on, huh? Think about it. And so I would encourage you, if the Lord gives you the grace, and I pray that he does. I pray that he puts the funds in your hand. I pray that he gives you time off work. I pray that he gives you favor on any side. I pray for God to do this, for you to press your way to be here. And so I'm going to do a little bit of an admonishment, but I felt in my heart, you have got to see this stuff. We're putting together some powerful things for you. You have got to see this and touch this firsthand. So that is my statement, and I think, Ashley, we have our prophet on the ground who wants to talk to us about stuff, but and how to get in touch with me, how they can get tickets, what kind of specials we have. But I did not want this particular show to go without letting you know these are serious times, and these are the perilous times, and you're going to love how God speaks to you at this event. I'm not saying it's the only one he has, but my job is to promote the one he gave me to host, and that is what I'm doing. Prophet Ashley.
Dr. Price, did anybody ever tell you you have a way with words?
Do you think?
Oh, yeah. I love the statement, anyone who is serious about winning trains to win. Oh, man. That lets you know that some things you just like talking about and not necessarily doing anything about.
Well, you know, we have to, there's a lot of the peacetime rules, you know, and I taught you all this in your training classes. We're operating in a wartime, in a war zone with peacetime rules. You know, when everybody, you said God, everybody knew it meant Jesus or the Father of Jesus Christ. When you said Lord, everybody knew that. You didn't have to kind of say, you know, when you said God bless you, everybody or the majority of people just assumed you meant the Most High God, the Lord and Father, or God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, those are peacetime rules where the Holy Ghost was the only spirit you had to deal with, and the biggest thing the saint had to worry about was a headache. where our country was pressing toward the light and not trying to pay its debt to the darkness as it is right now. Because it feels indebted to the darkness, and it's chasing the darkness with a real frenzy. So those peacetime rules don't work any longer. And we need to be real. We don't want to say that. You got preachers standing up there, because I listen to them and I look at them. I don't care. Jesus is still in control. He is in control. But your question should be, what is he controlling? And what control methods and measures is he using today? Because today is what we need to talk about. Jesus' past successes, matter of record. But we don't know this kind of Christ. We don't know Jesus in this fashion. Now, he knows what to do, but we don't know. And we cannot go around talking about we're going to sing songs and light candles and rock on bleachers in a stadium talking about it's going to happen and God's just going to whisk us away. That is not going to happen. We're going to have to do that and some more. We're going to have to pray and, you know, Nehemiah had to build and war. And as a matter of fact, he had to build, pray, prophesy in war. If you read what he was battling all kinds of stuff. So we're going to talk about that here today. And I'm telling you guys, I encourage you because my soul is so energized and probably a little bit exercised with this when I realize, hey, God, what do we have? We're looking at all of it. I mean, you're bombarded with demonic power, bombarded. I mean, they got classes. You go to the library, you can get classes on everything devilish and can't get a class on prophecy or prophets. They're going to give you free classes. We don't even get equal mention, guys. Forget equal billing. We don't even get equal mention. We don't chart. And those of us who chart, we chart for the darkness, not for the Prince of Light. And that's a problem. So I'm excited. Is our prophet ready? I know she's ready to get on board, unless, of course, you're going to throw something else out there to get me all fired up.
Well, I make no promises that I won't do that, but I will yield the floor to Prophet Adia.
My goodness, I am so ready. I love your quote today that we're supposed to have the answers. As a prophet, I can say amen. I am looking forward to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum 2014. I want to be a part of the class of 2014. If you were here with us last year, you know how powerful that is and all that that means. So we want to see you this year. The dates for the Tulsa Prophetic Forum are June 19th through the 21st, June 19th to the 21st. If you're coming into town on Wednesday, the 18th, there is a special orientation service for those that will be in town a little bit early. But we will see you the 19th through the 21st, June 19th to the 21st, Thursday through Saturday. The way that we want you to register is we want you to go to drpaulprice.com and click that events page so that you can get all the information you need to register for the forum. We do have a few specials left. One of them is special just to our live listeners today. Prophet Ashley is on the line, and she is ready to take your calls. The first five callers, if you're already on the line and you press 1 or you're calling in right now, the first five callers will receive a very, very special discount that no one else will get. So if you're on the line right now and you want to be a part of Tulsa Prophetic Forum 2014, you need to press 1 right now. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, you need to call us 646-478-5200. We're only taking the first five for this very, very special discount. You have to call, excuse me. You have to call in to find out what that discount is, and it will be emailed to you so that you can register. For our social media friends, we have a social media weekend. We've been talking about it on Facebook. It is coming up tomorrow. It starts at noon. This is only on social media, so you have to get on either Facebook or Twitter to take advantage of these specials. But Facebook, for our Facebook fans and followers, this weekend, Friday through Saturday, up to $40 off of your registration. You must go on to our company page, PPM Global Resources, on Facebook in order to get your special code. Again, this code is not going to run until tomorrow starting at noon. It's going to run until midnight on Saturday. There will be two different discounts. The greater discount is on Friday, so you want to make sure that you log in tomorrow on Facebook. Make sure that you like our company page, PPM Global Resources, on Facebook so that you can take advantage of that discount. For our Twitter fans out there, we have not forgotten about you. If you're listening right now on Twitter, you can also be eligible for a special discount to attend the forum, but you must tweet to us, hashtag Tulsa Prophetic Forum 2014. Tell us what you're looking forward to. We'll message you with a special discount code just for participating. So you want to hashtag Tulsa Prophetic Forum 2014. Twitter, this is available to you starting right now. So if you're listening and you're on Twitter, hashtag us Tulsa Prophetic Forum 2014, and you'll receive a special discount from us. That's how much we love you out there on Twitter. To stay connected with Dr. Paula Price, you want to make sure that you go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click add me to your mailing list. Listen, we want to make sure that you have all the announcements of where Dr. Price will be, what new events and what new products and resources that we have available, how to get registered for classes and webinars and all that we've got going on, but you've got to be a part of our e-newsletter list. So go to drpaulaprice.com and click the button that says add me so that we can make sure that you get all of the important announcements and you are in the know. For those of you who are on LinkedIn.com, Dr. Price is on LinkedIn too. You want to look her up under Dr. Paula Price. And you can also join her business group there as well so that you can get some handy business tips for what God is doing with your business. We want to make sure that we mention this about the forum. There is a bus that's coming down from the Chicago area. Antioch Christian Assembly is bringing a charter bus down. Going to be a powerful ride, I think, all those prophets on that bus. But they're coming down from the Chicago area, and we want you to be a part of that if you are in that region and you are looking to come down for the forum and save a little bit of money on having to buy a flight ticket. So what we want you to do is go to www.antiochcici.org. That's antiochcici.org, and click that contact us button so that you can be contacted about the charter bus that is heading down from that area. Listen, people are coming from every direction. This event is going to be powerful. If you're on the line listening to my voice now, you're a prophet, you've got a prophetic company, or you're a prophet in a prophetic company, this is the type of event that you plan to come to. This is the type of event that you put money away, that you invest into, because you're going to come seeking and you're going to leave knowing. You're going to leave empowered. You're also going to leave with tools in your hand to be a more competent, reliable, integrous, strong, effective prophet. I can speak from experience and tell you it's going to transform your prophet's mantle. So be there for the Tulsa Prophetic Forum 2014, June 19th through the 21st, and we will see you because we're saving a seat for you. God bless you all.
Wow. That's amazing. I also want to add to that, if you are coming and you have not reserved your hotel room yet, you need to do that today, even if you haven't purchased your plane ticket or your bus ticket or however you're getting here. The hotel itself is full, and it's the room block, the sleeping rooms, period, in the hotel are almost full because another group is, I guess it's a busy weekend. We have exceeded ours a couple times over, and I talked to them yesterday, and she said, if you have anybody else, tell them they need to do this now because we're running out of rooms. So for every single night, and that's the key, is you want to make sure you have a room every night of the event while you're there. So make sure you make that happen. But I'm excited. The lines are lit up. Lit up. Everybody's pushing that number one.
You know, I'm excited, too, Ashley. But first, I want to say, too, that we are really making some great strides with our Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn family. You know, and I call them family because we are family. We are all family. And so I thank God for them and looking for great things. And I really am excited about the specials we have. Want to encourage them to do it. But Ashley, I want to just talk for a moment. I know the phones have lit up, but we also know that I've got to give God's heart on this call every week. And so God has been stirring something in my spirit for a bit. And he, I think maybe Tuesday, he asked me a question. He said, how is it that people can love me and still be so far from me? God says people love him. He looks at our heart. He knows those who love him. He knows those who even fear him. There are a lot of people who love God and fear him. And we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And only with the fear of God can you even hope to enter into his wisdom. But why is that the case? I mean, why is God that way? You know, and Jesus talked about that. He said, well, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I said? Many people would do it if they knew. But again, it requires knowing your God. You do want to go and read my Facebook post about the Lord's organics, because this is a real issue for the king. There are times that God speaks to me, and oh, my Lord, he just is there. I mean, he's on it. And so I would ask that you just follow me and write this down, because I'm sure many of you are at work or whatever. But God is talking about the answer to that question. Many people love God, but they don't like his way of life, or they don't know his way of life, or they cannot appreciate his way of life. And when you are facing as much propaganda against your truth and against you who you are, as the Lord faces daily, you know, we don't realize that there is a seriously and highly developed propaganda machine against the Lord Jesus Christ, because his Christians, his children, his offspring won't stop being born and can't be defeated. You cannot defeat this God, and you can't defeat him, because he's not just leaving the scriptures on pages to keep us saved and keep us in him. No, he left in the planet a part of himself, the Holy Spirit, who makes sure that his will is done. Now, if it was just the Holy Spirit and not just angels, that would be one thing. But understand, it's the Holy Spirit that makes the Christ difference in our faith. The Holy Spirit, God pulled off the masterful coup of literally hijacking us from the stronghold of darkness and planting us in the kingdom of the Son of his love. He did that thing so stealthily, you still got to admire him. You know, and in the classes that I've been teaching, and we're talking about this, we have sold short the new birth, the salvation, and the new, we have sold you short. That's why half of you all can't believe God. The other half don't know why God is God. The other half just, I don't know why I love him, I just love him. You know, I don't know why I'm going to church, I just can't stay home. I don't know why I keep saying I'm a Christian, I have not a clue. All of that is because we've not given you the whole story and painted a complete your salvation and your redemption. The reason following Christ is difficult is because you either don't know how he lives, you don't appreciate how he lives, or you can't agree with his way of life. And that is going to make it difficult. I was preparing for this, and I noticed that nearly 90 times, probably more than that, but that's when I stopped counting, God talked about his ways, his ways, his way of life. He will say, my statutes, my commandments, my word, my will, my testimony, all together converge to present to you in a package called his way. God's way of life is where we're stuck. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Lord. We believe in salvation. We believe in eternal life, heaven, hell, all those things. And the people who have problems with those issues are stuck because they don't know his way. They don't believe his way. They can't understand God's way of life. It's like, huh? What? And most of us don't even know God has a way of life, because we think of God as a single entity. However massive and infinite that we see him, most people do not think of God as a being with a culture, with a world, with a populace, with immeasurable hosts. You know, you don't realize that. Many times you're frustrated because God didn't come to your aid quick enough, or he didn't answer you the way you want, or he went to do, but God has a way. You know, God has a way of life. He has a way of doing business. You know, we talked about it, the operation of his hands. God has a way of doing business. He has a way of answering prayer. He has a way of thinking. He has a way of acting. He has a way of feeling. And all of these are what he had perfected in himself before he ever decided to extend or replicate himself. And so it is our job when we get saved, when we get born again, that we understand the way of God. We have it internally, but it must become an external conduct, external behavior, if we're going to arrive to where he wants. You cannot appreciate God. That's why we change things, you know. That's why we come up with fantasies, and we come up with all little fairy tales, and we come up with all of those kind of allegorical kind of things, because we don't take time to learn his way, or we assume that his way is for later. God does not really care if we follow his way of life now. He doesn't care, you know, if we do it. He doesn't care if we know how he does it. I mean, after all, we're only human. And you bought into the we're only human doctrine so much that you forgot he died. His son died on the cross to cause you to supersede your humanity, his eternal destiny. God didn't, he never put Jesus, I mean, come on, God could have sent the Holy Ghost and kept Jesus home. Obviously, Jesus came to model something. He came to answer something. He came to promote something and produce something. Now, there are a whole lot of reasons why he came, and, you know, one of the things I love to teach, my God, I love to teach, is why this man became flesh. I love it, because when I studied why the Son of God, who lived forever, would put himself in the, in our minds, the most humiliating position of sperm in an egg, in a womb that he made, and trust this womb to bring him into the planet. Ah, come on, guys, that is just unbelievable. I'm not going to say why people have a problem with it, but when you tap into God's way, his way of doing things, when you tap into his outlook and his perspectives, we don't think like that. We have been so taught to think God owes us, God exists to be daddy to us, God exists to give us what we want, to do what we want. We are so bought into that that we've literally changed this man's character in our public life. We've changed, and think about it. You will know if there are problems with God when you are obsessed with either changing him or downplaying who he is. If you find yourself critical of God's way, he's critical of holiness, critical of his righteousness, critical of his authority and his sovereignty, your criticalness telling you, it is a definite statement on your conflict with God. You have a you do not like this man's ways. You may love him. A lot of people love folk they don't like. A lot of people love folk, they don't like their ways. That is what we're all accustomed to that. You know, you've fallen in love with somebody and you don't like their ways. You've fallen in love with them and they're too strict, they're too rigid, they're too high and mighty, they're too this, they're too that. You can't help what you love, but you can help what you appreciate. And a lot of times, even in marriages and relationships, you love people that you don't appreciate. And it's because of that lack of appreciation that your relationship is in trouble, because you don't appreciate who they are. At their fundamental core, you want them to be something different. You want them to be something that releases you from having to change and grow and mature to get along with them. And so we are not getting along with God. We're not getting along with him because his ways are difficult. In our mind, it doesn't make any sense. Truth, I mean, come on. The first thing we do is we allow folks to talk us out of his truth. Yeah, well, I know they said that. Well, you know, the Bible is written by men. Well, you know, there's churches in a different time. And you are eating that up, not realizing that if this man is God, he took all of that into account. And with all of it into account, and him being way ages before us, eons before us, he still said, but this works. And this works because this is me. God didn't just send his voice into the planet. He didn't even just send his semantics into the planet. He sent the verbal side of himself. He verbally communicated his own personality, his own character, his outlook, his likes, his dislikes, his passions, his hurts, his pains, his triumphs, his tragedies. Yeah, he had some. And we don't want to know that. But when you step away from other people's crafting of the God that they can live with instead of the God that is, you find out he's so phenomenal, you don't want to change him. You'll find out he's so delightful, you want to become more and more like him. You find out that his demands are not cumbersome, but when you're dealing with God in a religious caste, because we do, we're all, you know, we come to God through this religious hallway. Some of us pick up the priestly garments of the Most High God. Others take on a cast, and we become firm and rigid and locked in that cast. Most people deal with God from their cast. They've come in. This is how they learned him. This is what they strapped on you. Hey, this is all I know. But if you decide to let God be who he is instead of trying to change him, I promise you, you will find no more amazing, stupendous, magnificent being in all creation. His thoughts his thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher than. That's why he lifted us up in heavenly places, because his thoughts were higher than our thoughts. Our thoughts were not like his thoughts. His thoughts were higher than the heavens, and so he said, well, listen, if I want him to think like me, I've got to do a few things. And some of the things that I need to do, the first of which is I need to elevate them. So he sent his son, got him born again, put his spirit in us, and then what? Guess what? He then elevated us so we could think like him. So now we're seated in heavenly places. You cannot, either you believe the word or you can't. And you can't cherry pick the scriptures you like, because that means you're cherry picking his character, cherry picking his personality. You know, we have got to, as the body of Christ, stop trying to take the pieces of God that make sense to us, the pieces of God that we can live with. People live with their own branded, privatized piece of God. And so then they get stuck when they need something from him that they've not ministered to, they've not discovered, they've not learned. And so if he decides to do something different in their life, they fall apart. Oh, no, that can't be God. Oh, what kind of God? Well, the God I serve. That's the scariest phrase I ever heard, the God I serve. Because I have to stop you right there and ask you which one. Okay, no, so what God is it that you serve? I need to know before I say amen. Because I need to know, are you serving your own private peace of God? You know, saying Jesus is your personal Savior does not give you a right to privatize him, to make him, how you worship him, your own private thing. He is who he is. His personality is what it is. And so God wants to talk about the fact that we have problems with his way of life, his way of living, his way of thinking. And, you know, I can tell you it's inevitable that we would have that, because the only way you're going to know God's way is by his word. And everybody has told you that it is an uncredible source. You have been taught from the time you went to your first Bible study about all of the different versions of the Bible that nullify each other. You've been taught about all of the doctrines. You've been taught about all the religions that preceded Christianity, that Christianity is a piece of, and so therefore what you have is null and void, or at least it should be suspect. Now, here's where I'm at. You know, I read my Bible, and I read in Genesis, it says it in Genesis. In Genesis. Now, before I go, let me just say this. I know we have folks that tell us we cannot rely on the Bible, but you rely on your company's handbook all the time. You rely on the law, the books that the lawyers use to put you in jail or keep you out all the time. And you never read those. They didn't even let you get to them. And if you can't read them, come on, who can read that stuff? We don't know what they're saying, all right? But you rely on that. You rely on your textbook for your degree. You see how we like to mess with God? See, we do that to the Lord. But when it comes to the Bible, you can't take that as credible. Now, you can take this guy who's had to edit his book 95 million times. You're reading the 55th edition of Webster's Dictionary, and we're still calling it an authority. The man gave you one. Well, you know, they have it in different languages. It's all right. Your textbooks in another school, different language. We write them. And you know what? They still take them as credible, and they treat them as an authority. You see, you have to recognize that you have been psychologically and probably subliminally brought into, or subconsciously is a better word, subconsciously brought into the machine, the propaganda machine that churns around the clock to discredit Jesus Christ and to frustrate your faith in him. The issue is Jesus Christ is the stumbling stone and the rock of offense. Don't confuse it. It is not just about God or religion or faith. Don't confuse it. I'm telling you, the problem is Jesus Christ. If we kept Jesus out, everybody be fine. It was Jesus Christ who came and said, oh, wait a minute, but this man, okay, so he became flesh. He lived as a human being. He did God's thing. He died for us. He rose again. Oh, wait a minute, that's a problem. But you understand, you don't have a problem with Jesus. the spirit that's born into this world has a problem with Jesus, and that's what you're going to have to resolve. You're going to have to resolve that there's the spirit in this world. The spirit of this world has a problem with Jesus because he is the possessor, and the spirit of this world is a renter, and the renter doesn't want to leave the land and certainly doesn't want to pay rent and give the owner due regard. So that's where we're stuck. So I read my Bible. They tell you, well, you know, you can't really rely on the Bible. The scriptures work. And then, and God knows we don't want to talk about the King James Version. They so hate that. But let me tell you what I learned. I read my Bible, and it tells me that Abel was killed by his brother, Cain. And he was killed because he brought God the better sacrifice. Now, you know, you read it, you think, okay, so they must have had a church, and somehow Abel was just mysteriously endowed to know what God wants. And Cain was just unfairly deprived of the same knowledge. See, we think that. And so I'm looking at that and said, but Abel brought the, okay, and then God is involved. Now, God is talking to them straight up. You know, so God's involved. And I look at that, and then I come down to the book of Luke. And when I look in Luke chapter 11, around the 49th and 50th verse, I see Jesus talking about Abel. And he's talking about Abel from a first hand, like a real eyewitness. I was there, realizing later I was the one. But a real firsthand account of how Abel died and why he was killed. And for the first time, you realize that Abel was killed because he was a prophet, not just because he brought the right sacrifice. It was because of who he was that he understood the right sacrifice. He did it God's way. Cain killed his brother because he didn't like God's way. Cain was a naturist. He wanted to bring the fruits and the veggies. You know, he wanted to give God some flowers and some herbs, and God's like, I don't want that. The first thing I cursed was the ground, so that can't please me. You know, that's like you somebody making making your birthday gift out of an outfit that you stained, ruined, torn, and threw away. They go back in the garbage, pack it up in a nice, pretty package, and get mad at you because you won't accept it as their gift. So God is like, I don't want that. I want what I said. But I realized that Abel was a prophet. And so it was more than his offering that got on his brother's nerves. It was more than the fact that he slaughtered a lamb and brought God the blood, because in the blood is the life of all flesh. You realize that for all of them selling us on this thing that fruits and vegetables are great, are the only way to go, and I'm not against that, so we can get clear. Understand that vegetables still die. You know, when they get to your house, they still die. And, you know, they're selling you on this thing that, well, you know, the meat is dead, but no. Vegetables are dead. That's why they rot on your counter. So you put your bananas up there. 4 days later, you got something brown from something yellow. So the ground is cursed, and we can't get around that. So anyway, so I go to and I read my Bible, and I look at Luke chapter 11, and I see Jesus said, oh, so he was killed because he was a prophet, the first prophet to die in the planet. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing to me. And so that means he gave a word, or he held, if he also knew vegetables and or whatever weren't it, and he sacrificed of the lamb, was it, he was also a priest. So he's a prophet priest. He's the first prophet to be killed, first priest to be killed, because he's the one that's bringing the offerings to God. And so he had a whole ministration, which paints a different picture of life after Eve, of the early saints. They had a whole something or other going on there where God was very up close and very involved, because they had a whole system. They had a whole system, and a system that was so hardwired that nobody could change it or get around it. But then I go on, and I stay in my Bible, because, see, I started in Genesis. I'm going down. I'm in Luke, and I'm moving from Luke. I'm riding on down, and I'm going to Hebrews, where it talks about Abel's blood still speaks, which tells us even at the time that the Hebrews was being written, Abel's blood was still communicating to the heavens, communicating from the earth. And yet, when Jesus' blood was shed, it said his blood speaks of greater things than Abel. Now, think about it. because Jesus' blood is sinless blood. So he didn't even have any of a fallen male sperm mortality. God has to put mortality on Jesus for him to die because he didn't have it. So here we go. Now he's saying his blood still speaks. What is he telling us? That the reason that the sheep blood was more important was because when you squeeze fruit juice, it doesn't do anything but just die. But when you shed blood, it communicates. So what does it take? It takes this scientific era. It takes this era of forensics or whatever to let us know the blood speaks. Your blood talks, and it talks long after you're gone. So we're going into tombs. We're getting mummies. We're getting all of those kinds of things. And what are they doing? They're still speaking. Ages and ages and ages, quote unquote, according to their dating system, quote unquote, millions of years later. What is speaking? The very thing that kept them alive. So what is God telling us? He's telling us that there is a reason why we're different. That's number one. But he's also telling us that he has a way of doing things. There are ways that things are registering to God. You know, today we're learning how to read minds. Are you kidding? God was reading minds some way from before time began. That's how come he knew what the church was going to do, because he was reading minds. But us as his people, us as his family, we have got to, hear me, brothers and sisters, family. I like to say family. Hear me, family. We have got to start learning this man's ways. We've got to start understanding the operation of his hand. That's so important because God operates in a different way, and we need to know what that is, and we need to conform ourselves to it. A lot of the disappointment we have is because we presumed on God's way. We presumed on his customs, his manners, his habits, his culture, his conversation. We presumed a lot on God, you know? And I'm telling you, now we're at a place where God is saying to us, hey, guys, I have a way of doing things, and I have a system by which I do things. I need you to be aware that your ways are not my ways. And the reason your ways are not my ways is because your thoughts are not my thoughts, and you don't understand how we do things. Now, here's how I'm going to wrap this up. You know, but I wanted you to get this. I was thinking about this in terms of Psalm 28:3. I think I might have done it backwards. I'm sorry, 28:5, where it talks about God's way. And it says God's actions are different. We need to know how he acts. We need to know how God does business, his transactions. We need to know God's end product and the thought process that produce what he wants, why he knows that we will do what he wants him to do at the appointed time, despite how many times we fight, kick, drop out, don't come back, whatever, fall down and don't get up. But we have to know that we need to know how God works, the labor of his hands, and how he makes things. And we need to know how God occupies his station as God and the responsibilities and duties and obligations that go along with it. We who are mature, now a new saint, now let's just give him the milk of the word. Come on, new saint, can we just get you saved? There is some person named Jesus. He saved you. Now he was on the outside. He's now on the inside. And now we want you to, you know, desire his work and grow. That's not us. We're the adult saints. And as the adult saints, we need to stop going to God the way we did 25 years ago, the way we did when we first got saved. We need to start dealing with him on his level. And that is why we are disappointed. A lot of this heartbreak, setback, or disappointment has to do with us wanting to impose our way on God. And there was no plan for, no blueprint for our way to happen in his world. See, there just is no schematic for it. We want to write it out for him. We think if we write it in a journal, sing it in songs, if we dance it around, if we put it on T-shirts, we think that's going to move him. His system is set. It was fixed before we got here. And it cannot be undone. We're trying to undo something that actually reproduced us, and it cannot happen. And so God wants us to get good at knowing his way and how he does things. And if we start learning how God does things, you know, and begin to consider it, you know, in Isaiah, I like this one, in Isaiah 5:12, it talks about we should consider the operation of his hands, okay? And the harp and the vial, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feet, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. And it's important that we get that. You know, if we look at 1 Corinthians 12:6, he's still talking about it. He hasn't changed. You know, he said, I'm the Lord, I change not. And so he's still talking about the operation of his hands. And he says here in 1 Corinthians 12:6, and there are diversity of operations, but it's the same God which worketh is all in all. It's important for us to recognize God has a way of doing things, and our conflict with God has to do with whether or not we approve of his way. And most of us do not approve. Christians, I do. I happen to think the guy is awesome. You know how I feel about him. He's a honey man. I understand this. But, you know, 32 years later, I can say that. But I still remember those early days when God made no sense to me. And I remember those early days when, I mean, I just knew I should go left, and he said, but right's going to get you where you got to go. Even though it's longer, even though it's fraught with trials, you're still going to end up at your destination. But you have to get to a point where you stop disapproving God's way of life. You stop disapproving of how he thinks and disapproving of how he acts, because that's really the height of our pride, that we really think we can outthink him and we can figure him out. We can't even prove if we're right. We might disapprove of him, but our lives say that we were wrong. You know, we're not getting the results we're going after, and we don't get the results we're going after. He doesn't get the results he's going after, and everybody's frustrated. But I hear the Holy Spirit saying to us today, come down off your disapproval stance. Understand that your issue with Christ is that you've got to know his ways of life, the way he lived. This man has lived forever. He has, look, come on now, he's had to go through every creation his father ever made. He had to perfect it all the way through at every generation and every regeneration and on and on and on. He had to do all of that. And out of each one of them, discover what works and discard what doesn't. And so we'd rather live off God's discard than to live on the discoveries that has kept him alive forever, on top of it all, at the head and not the tail, the Lord of glory, and the maker and master of all things. We would really rather live off his discard, what he's discarded, what his refuse. And I say that to my students when I'm training them. I say, you do realize that whenever you decide that God's wrong and you're right, you are living off of or choosing, opting for what he has tossed away. When you look at this world and you look at what they're pushing on you, come on, it's not hard for you to see what God threw away. They're pushing on us God's throwaway. You know, the world of sin and the laws of sin and death, those are throwaways. That's what God tossed away. Oh, that doesn't work for me. I'm not going to keep that. That's going to kill me. I'm not going to kill. Oh, no, no, no. I'm not going to let that deteriorate me. I'm not going to let that infect me. You are living off his throwaways and chasing his throwaways, because that's all he gave in this world. When Adam surrendered it, he surrendered it with the first thing God threw away, which was the anointed cherub, hallelujah, and the host that backed him to try to take down heaven. And from that moment on, the two have been an option, and you are opting for what God has thrown away and discarded in the name of appreciating it, just because you can relate to what he threw away more than you can relate to what he has perfected forever. So that is what I wanted to share about us. I hope that makes sense. Hey, be nice if you Facebook me sometime and let me know if these things are speaking to you, if they make sense, because I know how God has spoken to me, and I know the things that he wants me to know, and that he and how much he wants to be discovered and revealed in his as he is, you know, as he is, not the way I was. You know, when he said to Moses, who did I say send me? He said, I am. And he didn't say anything else. Why? I want you to go in the name of how I am. Everybody had gods back then. Everybody had religions and rituals back then. Everybody had ways of life, cultures, communities, and societies. But God says, I want you to go and represent me as I am, because I am none of that, and I am all that I'm getting ready to bless you with. Hallelujah. Prophet?
Yes, ma'am. That was meaty. I think meaty is a good word. Definitely meaty and rich. Just thinking about, I think whenever we think about our relationship with the Lord, because you said in the beginning, he is not a person. He is just one massive entity in most people's minds. So you really don't think you can do with him what you do to other people, although many times we're not honest about what we do to other people either. hence some of your posts on Facebook this last week, praise God. But thinking about how you can love him but not appreciate his way of life is where the conflict really hits. And because we don't even paint sometimes a full picture of who God is, you don't realize that's what you're doing. And like you said, he's my personal Jesus. He's my personal Savior. Everything is personal. And when we think personal, we think customizable. I can customize him because everything that I own personally, I can customize, right? I have a new TV. I customize the colors. I customize the tint, the setting, the volume, the whatever, all the whole setup to my personal preferences, even though we can all have the same model television, my personal preferences make it look like a completely different TV from yours. And that is what we end up doing to God in our salvation. And it's not until you put it like that, Dr. Price, that we actually think about what we are or are not doing.
I got to say to you, you know, Ashley, I tell you what, there are mentees and there are mentees, but I certainly enjoy you because you do get it and you do manifest it. You know, you and the rest of my prophets will finish the program. But I want to say this. I like that, customized Jesus, because that is exactly what we want. We want to customize him for our life. Nobody wants to change their life for their smartphone or their computer or the laptop. That's why they made everything customizable, because people are hardwired. They don't want to change. And God's uniqueness gets on people's nerves. You know, in Job, Job has a passage in it that says, he is unique. Who can make him change? Well, what does that mean? And that's what he wants us to get. God can't change, because the alternatives, hear me, people, you're going to love this. And then, Ashley, I know you got two more comments because I heard them in the spirit. But
yes, I do.
See, am I on it or am I on it? But God can't change, and here's why he can't change. Because when he changes, he's got to change into something he's already thrown away. So actually, he can't change. He will only regress or retrogress, because he can't change. He's already discarded everything that he has found useless, incompatible, you know, contradictory, and on and on and on. So he can't change. And that, which is why he can safely say, oh, okay, now I can go reproduce after my own kind. You know, God did not try to reproduce us until he had perfected everything about himself, because he did not want to reproduce problems. He did not want to reproduce deterioration, denigration. He wanted to reproduce his excellence, his superiority. We are the same way. That's why when we do things, we want it right. And so we work hard and we purge all of the errors and setback and flaws out of things, because we want it done right. And that's God. He wanted everything done right. What was right? What right is God defines right as what keeps him strong, alive, powerful, potent, prosperous, on top, you name it. That's what he figured out. He figured out what made him indomitable, what made him unconquerable, undefeatable, what made him, even irreplaceable. He figured all of that out. And when he figured it out, he said, now I'm ready to be creative. Now I'm ready to reproduce myself. Now I'm ready to make other things. Hallelujah. Come on, Ashley. Give me your two comments.
It might just be one. When you said the first thing God cursed was the ground, that's why Cain's offering was unacceptable. You know, you answered a question I didn't even know I had. And I thought that was the problem. Because you hear it growing up. You're like, yeah, Cain, Abel, okay, it wasn't acceptable, whatever. But really, in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, but why not? And, I mean, I've been in this ministry a long time. I'm sure you've addressed this over the years. But today, it just hit, like, right. That's why that was a problem. Because the ground was the first thing he cursed, and that's what he was trying to bring the Lord. I appreciate your wisdom, Dr. Price, and the opportunity to sit under this teaching. And I'm going to make a shameless plug as far as saying, you know, blessing back into your life is a great reward as well. And I would just encourage anyone who's been blessed by Dr. Rice's ministry to bless her back. Send her a blessing. We'll have an announcement about it at the end. But it's such an honor to be able to even bless someone like you, to be in proximity of someone like you who is so cool and so smart at the same time. to do that. I'm working on a little gift myself for you. It'll be here soon. I'm excited just to see you smile, just to see you say, wow, you know, to do that, because every week you just rock our world. You do, and in a good way, not that, oh, my goodness, why did I get saved way, but sometimes, how deep am I really saved? I think I might need to run through the blood one more time just to make sure, because I don't know how rightly I've been doing this thing. And so I thank you for that. Yes, you answered a question I really didn't know I had. And that's another reason why I love the Paula Price Show, because you won't even realize you had a question until you provide an answer.
And I tell you the truth, I thank God for doing it. I love this. I told God I love this. And, you know, I'm at a point now where all I'm going to do is make him make sense to the world. That's been my first mandate when we had our television show. We had, you know, what was it? Let's Just Talk, where God makes sense. Every week we were about making God make sense, because God's people are sensible. They're intelligent. They just need to be informed, because I noticed that the more we inform them, hallelujah, the more they obviously they can embrace his way of life. You know, everybody's not trying to ignore the Lord, and everybody's not trying to blow him off. And I don't even give that impression, but I do know that, you know, until you understand, until you get to high school to learn calculus and all of that, you know math. Until you get to junior high, you know arithmetic. That's just how it goes. So as we move up the line, we begin to tap into and make sense of the more complex sides of God. And I'm not going to kid you. He can be quite complex. He's an amazing God, awesome, and all of that. But he is God. And he expects us to work at learning him and to care enough to work at it. So I'm blessed. I'm excited. I thank you all for listening. Ashley, I think I should take some calls. You told me I had calls. I think I should take some. Give me a call.
Well, as it happens, yes, I do. First in line is Tiffany from Illinois. And Tiffany is calling because she just needs to know what is the next step for my life. Tiffany, welcome to the Paula Price Show. And Tiffany, don't hang up after the show, because, see, now Prophet Adia made the announcement. I have to get your email address, so don't hang up. But welcome, okay. And now you're live with Dr. Price.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Dr. Price, or afternoon. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you doing, Tiffany? It's been a while, right?
Yeah, well, I just want to say, man, this call has been such a blessing. You really are speaking to our spirits. This afternoon, Dr. Price, and God's word is spirit in his life. I know I'm like speechless right now, because it's like everything I know, he just said call in. And I know that those that are led by the spirit are the sons of God, and I called in. And, you know, I took the liberty just to let you know, like, just how much this is resonating with my spirit. I looked up way. And it means path, it means road, it means journey, it also means conduct. And so when you were saying all of that, God wants us to know his way, and that's my heart. You know, I'll be frank with you. I've been through religious activity. I know, okay, jump and dance and shout on this cue, but religious activity does not bring transformation. I believe that the demonstration of the power that is in the kingdom of God and his word, his spirit and life, brings transformation. And just listening to you, just the introduction and everything that you've been saying this afternoon has really brought transformation into my life just now. And, you know, and I've just been praying to God, like, you know, well, Lord, I'm going to get emotional. I'm so serious about this. I don't want the religiousness no more, God. I want to know you. And I want to know what you want out of my life. I'm willing to deny myself. I'm willing to pick up my cross and follow after you, whatever it is you want me to do. And so I know that I've been saved since April 2002, and I told God, I know he corrected me, that I have been leaning on my own understanding, but to trust him with all my heart and acknowledge him in all my ways, and he would direct my path. And so I this call, I know, and I'm not saying anything against the other callers, but I know God made this call tailor-made for me today, because it's been where my heart is, to know God more intimately and to not come to him on my terms, to not come to him on what I think, but to know him in the most intimate direction and what he wants for my life. And I want to know, how do I fit, God? How do you want to use me right now? What do you want out of me? And so I felt led to call in this morning, because I know that where there is counsel, there is safety in a multitude of counselors. So that's why I called in.
Well, I'm glad you called in, and Tiffany, and thank you so much for sharing. I like the honesty. You know, I'm with you. I think that we have had the plastered wallpaper Jesus, you know, long enough. I think people are like you, and I believe in my heart, Tiffany, that there are millions and millions and millions of you in the world waiting for God to just say, okay, turn the light on, turn the switch, okay, just direct me in the right way. Because, you know, one day I was watching, I can share this with you, one day I was watching the media, you know how the media just hates Jesus Christ, you know, and I guess if I had to bow to somebody as powerful as him, I'd be scary too. So they really just hate him. And so I was watching that, and the Holy Spirit said, I said to God, I refuse to believe that these five voices or ten voices represent the majority of God's people. And, you know, as I started studying it out and looking at different statistics on the Internet, I realized that this is a propaganda machine, but it's up to us, who will show his way, who will stand, who will not sell out, who will not buy into their con and their rejection. I think those people are the ones who make folk know, no, God's not losing. God can't lose. God's got, you know, when they count Christians, they count who signs a roll. They don't count the guy who got saved under the bridge. They don't count the kid who got saved in his room. They don't, because nobody knows where the Holy Ghost is. So you don't really know how many Christians there are in the world until you tap us, until we start, God begins to galvanize us. We're going to be surprised how many folks believe not just in religion, not just in faith, but in the Lord Jesus Christ and who believe in his lordship. And that's what I think we're going to see as we go forward. Not everybody's mad with God. Not everybody's ready to run up to heaven and pull down the throne of Christ. Not all the people feel that way. There are a lot of people because he's in them. See, God has an edge. That's the piece they miss. They can bash him all day long. They can play mind games. But God has an edge. He puts a seed of Christ in us, lets that thing grow. That's what's happening with you. That seed of Christ is growing up. And it's starting to take space in your spirit and take space in your soul. It's starting to make you new and make you want something that you can't see, but you can live with, and you live with it every day. So, yes, you're going to do well. God just wants you to pick up, before you pick up all the other things, pick up your word, pick up his teaching, learn of him in truth. Before Jesus assigned people anything, he instructed, he informed, he educated, and he trained. He will always do that. And the one thing that we taught you to do over the years is to think that that was secondary to your expression of your gift. We taught you that it was secondary to your manifestation of your gift. We made you knowing what to do secondary to you just doing what you think. And now God is reversing that trend, and he's beginning to say, don't you want to get it right? Don't you want to represent me correctly? Don't you want, as you just said, safety, don't you want guardianship in your life? Don't you want to know the pillars and the boundaries and the hedge of protection and how to build yours? That's what God is with you, and I think with so many people. You want, your next step is to learn him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly at heart, and you will receive strength unto your soul. See, our souls are weak because we didn't learn him. Our spirit may be strong because he's in it. Our souls are weak because we didn't learn him, because we didn't allow our souls to be converted. So the first thing I would say to you is that you want to learn Christ, and you're right. You want to learn him as he is. You just want to pick up your word. Pick up your sword. Let God lead you. You said he can lead you. Let him lead you to the sources of knowledge and training and education that he has picked out for you. Because not everybody can learn from the same person the same way. And that's okay. You know, there's a reason why we had 12 apostles. Even a devil, for the devil. You know, we had 12 apostles. He even gave the devil one. Okay? Everybody had one. There's a reason why we had 12 apostles. And there's a reason why there's 12 tribes, you know, and on and on and on, because not everybody can get it the same way. And so however way God has packaged it for you, that's what I'm praying for him to tap in or to help you tap into. You're going to find out who he packaged. What developmental mix did he create for you to become as he is in this world? Hear that. That's a powerful phrase I just said to you. Did you hear me, Tiffany?
Yes, ma'am.
What did he package for you to learn how to become as he is in this world? That's your prayer. And we've talked, you know, because the world has done such a terrible job of presenting Jesus Christ, you know, I keep telling God, you know, now here's my own personal bugaboo, but it is the Paula Price Show, and so here we go. My personal bugaboo, you know, it is. Here's my personal bugaboo. Could we get somebody to play Jesus who looked like they once ruled the creation? Could you tell me why the Marvel superpowers look stronger and mightier than the man we say is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? That's how much they want us. They either paint the picture of this man being feeble and frail and incapable and just totally, you know, this cream puff that's walking around with this looking voice doing we don't know what. See, because we bought into that. You don't even expect Jesus to show up looking like a man. You don't expect him to show up with as muscular as he is, as buff as he is, as powerful as he is, as strong. You don't expect that. We expect him to show up like a guy who just made it in under the wire. But that's going to change because we're going to change. He's going to change how we see him. So I hope that helped you. Start with those passages and find out, God, what package did you put together before time began and before I entered the planet to assure that I would be as you are in this world? Because that's what it means to be led by the Spirit. It's also what it means to be a child of God. Your children are as you are for a reason. And we have to become that. So I'm going to pray for you unless you have another question.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. So let me pray. Don't hang up without the prayer. You know, we got to cover it. Father God, Lord Jesus, you're such a sugar pie, such a sweet man, such a great king, our awesome Messiah, our awesome Redeemer, our Savior above all. And Lord, you are the great I am. You are the Almighty. And Father God, I know that's what you've made your son, and that's what he is to us. And I thank you that in the saints that he's in today, that is going to come forth like never before. I decree and declare in every saint, in every vessel that you inhabit by your Holy Spirit, who you are in truth, what you really are, your might, your power, your strength, your majesty will come forth. In every vessel that you inhabit will exude it from the inside out. And God, the world will know that you did send your son, that he did rise from the dead, that he did ascend on high, that he did pour out his spirit on all flesh. God, that truth is going to get out. It's breaking through the barriers even now. And I thank you that young ones like Tiffany and those who are listening today have committed to making that happen and being a part of that, being part of that thing so that the world may know that Jesus Christ is Lord, has always been, will always be, and that he is our God. And Lord, that they would know that we chose the right God, not the weak God, not the anemic one they keep promoting, but the right God, the right Savior, the right Son of God, the right Son of Man. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, guide her footsteps, God. Walk her into the places that she needs to go, the right bookstores, to the right shelves, Father, in the bookstores. Walk her into the right meetings and the right settings so that what you have pulled together before time began to bring her into your excellence, God, lands in her lap, that she is not deterred, distracted, but God, that it lands in her lap. And I thank you, Father, for doing it. In the awesome name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Okay. Prophet.
All right. That was juicy. Okay, next on the line we have Frances from Texas. And Frances is calling because she needs prayer for her nephew. She said one nephew is 20 years old and he has been diagnosed with HIV and the other is incarcerated. So Frances from Texas, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, Dr. Price. How are you today?
I am fine, Frances. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm wonderful.
Hallelujah. So tell me, how did the exhortation affect your prayer request?
I actually almost changed it, but I was like, no, I need to stick with the plan. the exhortation was, it was great. It was eye-opening. I never really thought about what you talked about us unknowingly changing the character of God. I was like, wow. That's, wow. That was eye-opening for me.
Great. And so does that mean that you, once you're finished with this call and you get back in your prayer closet, you and God are going to rethink some things and maybe revamp a few things?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, then my next question to you would be, once you and God revamp, will you be passing this on to your nephews that you, whom you're very concerned about?
Yes, I share with them. They're not believers. They know of God, but they were not. These are my great nephews, and they were. This is the generation in our family that, unfortunately, is not being raised in the fear of God, the knowledge of God at all. My generation, my siblings, we were raised. You know, in that direction, but my nieces have not, and my they have not raised their children, and unfortunately, it's really showing.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that they have a visitation from the Lord, and that the Lord rebuilds the ruined places in your family's tree and in your family line, that he repairs the breaches and that he restores the foundations and the pillars that brought your family to that point. And your trust me, you know, this is across the board with people, because people got bored with church. They got tired of being told what to do. They, again, were taught how to disapprove of what God does and how God does things, and that disapproval became of daily habitual practice until they got to the point that they passed it on as their way of serving God or not, and letting people make the decision. You know, the thing that we talk about in our church a number of times, I probably say it a lot, but the thing that we talk about most in our church is this, that you will tell, the state can tell your children that they got to go to school. You will tell your children that they have to go to school. You relocate, they have to go to a new school. Whether they want to go or not, they can cry. We demand that. But yet, when it comes to God, they can make up their mind if they want to go to church, and then make up their mind about the religion they want. Now, they can't pick the school, but they can pick their religion, okay? They can't pick the parents. They can't pick the street that they're on because they're living in your house. And you think about it, that is how much we have, the con on God has worked, and it has weaved itself, wormed, I don't even want to say weave, it's just giving it too much dignity, wormed itself into the psyche of this generation to the point that they have, these are the very people that will say that and say, but I don't know why my son is in jail. Well, I don't know why my daughter's on drugs. Well, I don't know, wait a minute, because, I mean, after all, they had a right to live life their way. Let me just give everybody a newsflash. We do. Jesus' blood was shed just as much for people to choose him or to refuse him as it was to choose him. People have the right by the blood of the Lamb to refuse him. They don't have to serve God. Here's the newsflash, everybody who's listening. The newsflash is God does not have to do it your way. You only choose your choice. You don't choose your consequences. You choose your pathway. You don't choose what's on the highway. The highway is already decorated, already littered. Those signposts are there, the roads or whatever they are. All you do is choose your route. Everything that happens along the way is predetermined because it's been there before you made that choice. And that's where we are today with our kids. We told them, you can choose what you want. And God didn't step in and say much of anything. He said, have at it. You know, God, have at it. I'm going to have a family. I win because I won. I won this before I gave you breath. So I already know where I'm going. But if you want your kids to go through that, bless you. Just don't yell at me. Don't tell me I'm not God because you chose to put them under another God. Don't tell me that I messed up. And that's where we are with these children today. Our number one prayer is to pray that they repent and come to Jesus Christ. That's the prayer that we have to have. And if you are who I think you are, that's what you've been praying.
Yes. Most, yes. Yes.
You know,
and,
I see you.
I'm pretty much more of, yeah, I'm pretty much the one carrying more of the burden of them. of my great nephews. Not that the other ones are not concerned. It's just, well, they're just going through a phase. Are you serious? No, they're not. No, it's more than a phase.
Well, what we're going to do is I'm going to pray. Now, remember, you can't hang up because you're number two, so you obviously qualify for whatever our surprise is. But we're going to pray, and here's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for God to lead them to the cross. And then from there, I'm praying for mercy because I'm not going to ask God for something that I know people have done. See, their folks do things to God, and then we still pray like he ought to just blow it off. Well, God, just blow it off. Just shake it off, Lord. Just shake it off. You Almighty, just shake it off. Nope, I'm not going to do that because I am a messenger with compassion in my heart for the suffering of humanity and for the suffering of Christ. I do feel for what he goes through, and so I care about both sides. So I'm going to pray for them to get saved because I believe that's what God wants to do, and I think that's why you can't put them down. Because I believe that they're called to salvation. But then I'm going to pray for mercy.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay? Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for being God, for your truth, for your mercy, which endures forever. God, I thank you that you delight in mercy. Well, I mean, that is just powerful for us to know, that you delight in mercy, that you have an appetite. You like feasting on mercy and snacking on mercy and imparting your mercy to others. So I thank you for that, Father God. Now, I lift up these two young men to you, and the first thing I'm asking you to do, Jesus, is send forth your light and your truth and begin to break down the barriers of unbelief and shatter the strongholds that are keeping them bound to the law of sin and death. And I'm asking that in its place, God, that you give them, grant them redemption, grant them salvation. Lord, we've gotten so much that we've canned this thing that we forgot that in the New Testament, people had to ask you to grant salvation. You said, I granted salvation, that I opened their heart to receive the gospel, that I gave them permission to hear my word. That is a gift. It's become so successful and so effective, God. We forgot that it's still a sovereign gift. While you want everyone to be saved, you still want them to come to you and ask for it. So, I'm praying today and asking you to have these young men seek you for salvation, seek you for redemption, seek you for deliverance and healing, God, and that they do it according to their own free will. And, Lord, I bless you for it. And, Lord, once they get saved, because you are God that answers prayer, that I thank you for the mercy to deal with their sicknesses, their diseases, and their bondages. And I'm asking you to do it according to your mercies, God, and according to your will. And I'm asking you to let their salvation be a light and a beacon to the rest of this family. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. And listen, stay encouraged. My prayers work.
Yes, ma'am. I believe it.
Thank you. God bless. Prophet.
Whew. I'm a witness, Francis. Her prayers do work. Bless God. The Whew. Witness. All right. You're ready for someone else?
I am.
All right. We have Cynthia from Missouri. And Cynthia is calling today because she needs guidance. She's in the midst of transition and wants to know if God. Cynthia from Missouri, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Dr. Paula Price.
Good afternoon, Cynthia from Missouri. How is it in your neck of the woods?
It's beautiful weather here today.
Great. That means that you'll be outside enjoying it, right?
Well, shortly hereafter, I'm actually as she said, I'm in transition, so I'm actually packing. I'm packing.
Okay.
I'm looking to relocate, and I want to just give you just a little bit of background. I had applied for a job many, many years, several times, and I said that this year would be the Lord doing an and suddenly move. So this year, in January, I got the call from the job. And it was almost like it was laid out for me. Everything worked out fine. All my references turned out well. I had someone come to stay with my boys because there was an 8-week training. They handed me the job. They gave me the salary that I wanted. I accepted. They sent me a fax of the employment agreement, and at the very end, the employment agreement had a non-compete clause that I did not want to agree to. It was saying to me that if I left the company for any reason on their cause or my cause, I couldn't go work at another institution like that one for 2 years. And I didn't want to agree to that. And so I didn't sign it, and I feel like I'm so – God is not the author of confusion, but I feel like how could I sign and be under bondage to a company that I no longer worked for? How was it given to me, everything laid out for me, and then taken away? So I had begun to prepare for the move, and when I didn't sign the agreement, I felt like I'm still going to go because I feel like there's great opportunity here for me, even for my ministry. I am in an excellent ministry here, but I don't feel like my gift is being cultivated. I feel like my gift is an old baby, and I don't want my baby to be delivered and look deformed. And so I'm needing some guidance and direction just about the move in general, because I believe before it was God, but then after I didn't take the job, I said to myself, I'm going to go anyway. But I want to make sure that God is still in the plan. I don't want to do anything outside of his will, because I'm not just responsible for me. I have children as well that I'm going to be taking. But in my spirit, I feel good about it. I'm going without a job, though, because I didn't have the job. I didn't take the job. So for some people it would seem foolish, but I kind of feel like it's a faith walk for me, and I just want some spiritual insight.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. When you got this non-compete clause, I mean, did you take it to an attorney or something?
No, but I called. I have a couple of friends that work in HR, and one of my friends asked an attorney for her company, and they said, yes, it is legal and binding. A lot of companies do have that. I even asked for some further advice from a friend, and they told me maybe I could negotiate the time limit. So instead of it being 2 years, see if you could negotiate it down. And I did ask them about that, and they said no. They said no, that was their agreement that everyone signs, and they could see that it was going to be a problem for me, so they rescinded the offer.
Well, I want to say this to you, Cynthia, and I'm going to be honest with you. When you pray, because you said you applied for this job for several years?
Yes, yes.
So in all of that time, you didn't check out what there any of those kinds of things?
I did not. I did not know anything about that, no.
Okay. And now here's the other piece, and I want to say this to you. Principles and standards and all of that thing, they're wonderful. But I think somebody needs to start telling the body of Christ and at large, in mass, that they still cost. You chose to be out of work. Now, here's where I'm at. I figure if I pray for a job for 7 years and God miraculously digs this thing up, then he can handle anything going on with it. That's my thought. So I can pray for you, and I'm going to pray for you because I understand it. But the thing I want you to understand, we cannot use religious reasons to not make prudent decisions, because when we do, we must ride out that season. You're going to ride out this season for a couple of reasons. Number one, because you pressed God all those years to move by his power to make it happen, and he did. And ended up being concerned about when you quit. What if you don't get out the job for 10 years? And so for 2 years, you've got all of this experience that you can adapt 100 different ways, okay? And that has nothing to do with competing with these folks. All of this experience that you can adapt 100 different ways if you kept the job for 10 years, that still you still got your economy out of it. To me, and I'm going to sell you what I really believe in my heart, to me, the enemy blindsided you. That was a religious spirit, and he blindsided you. because
okay.
you needed the job. And that's the first thing. You needed the job, but you pressed for that. To me, to press God for something that you aren't going to take whole hard is a really kind of a risky thing. And I wish I could give you another word, but the bottom line is you threw the job back. You threw it back, and it happened. And because you just didn't like a non-compete clause that may or may not have been active by the time you got there. Who knows? In 5 years, somebody could have taken them, gone to fight the thing. There's 100 things that could have happened. But meanwhile, you could have been eating, living well, and taking care of your family. And that's what I'm concerned about. And so now, this is a walkout. I'm going to pray for you to get a job, but I'm telling you, I've seen this happen with God before. Because, see, again, we deal with God religiously instead of dealing with him as a person. As a person, we told him he didn't do it right, and we threw it back. Now we say, go get another. Now, God, go fix it again. Now, God, you didn't do it the way I wanted it to do, and you didn't do it the way I wanted it because you know I wasn't going to do a non-compete clause. I mean, after all, God, who would ask anybody to do a non-compete clause, even if that is right now it's the culture? But, I mean, who in the world would do that? So, God, that's not what I want. You gave me the job I pressed you for all these years the wrong way. So I'm not going to take this. Now, God, go get me another.
Mm-hmm.
Are you
okay? Yes, I am. Yes,
He's not going to do that like that. God is not our servant, and he's not a slave. And so sometimes when he does things like that, and trust me, I've made this mistake. I wish I could. If I had the time, I could tell you. But I made this mistake, I'm crying. Years go by. I'm crying up a storm. And I said, and you promised, and you said, and I went through it. I mean, Cynthia, I went through it. And you know what he said? I did it. I said, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. No, I said I did it. Well, when did you do it? Took me right back to that moment. You think God didn't know that they had a non-compete clause? They didn't get that past him. They did not sneak that past God. Not if he went and moved heaven and earth to get you in there. So this is going to be a difficult season. And you might not appreciate my counsel because, we in the church, we want to hear something else. But I'm telling you, you and God are going to deal with why you thought it was okay to throw that back. When he moved, if this had been something you just went out to look at, okay, I just went out, and I just looked at it. Oh, man, I didn't know this was it. You pressed heaven for that, which tells me you're a woman of great faith, and you're a woman of great patience and perseverance. That probably was a great position for you. But you know what? I'm telling you, God wants you to not trifle over his gifts and his treasures. He wants us to see, because we did that kind of like, how we do, when we do kind of like our word of faith thing or whatever. Well, if it doesn't come the way I say, because God said he's going to give me the desires of my heart the way I want. See, that wasn't it. You made a miracle happen, my beloved. You did. You proved that faith and determination, you made a major thing happen. That was a major achievement on your part.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray for the Lord to speak and to work this out for you. But he's going to work it out in his way because God is a person. And if anybody knows anything about Paula Price, that is the number one thing. God is a person. If you put yourself in God's place and your son did that to you, ask yourself what your reaction would be.
Mm-hmm.
We dealt with him, and we always do that because we deal with God as a religion. But God is a person, and there are times that he lets his religious system run it, and then there are times that he takes it on as a special project. You captured his attention, and you engaged his power and brought it to pass. And God wants you to know that he will do that for you again, but it's going to be a little bit. So God's going to, you're not going to be, I'm not prophesying you're going to be broke. I'm not prophesying judgment because, saints hear this wrong. I'm talking consequences.
Okay.
I'm talking a natural sequence of events. So if you go, I'm going to ask God to have mercy on you. He's going to have it because he's a merciful God. But I would be remiss as his representative, as his agent, not to tell you how that landed in his ear. And how it affected his world. That's all I'm doing. I'm just letting you know how that landed in his world and how his mind processed that. Because if I don't, then you're going to be misled into thinking that easy come, easy go. Here today, gone tomorrow. And we forget it takes God a lot to move things for us the way we want. We act like just because when we hear it in an instant, he hasn't worked on it. You already said how long it took him to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pray for you, my beloved, because you have a lot of power. I'm telling you, you have a great potential in Christ, and it's going to be perfected, but you're going to have to start thinking just a little bit more prudently about when you engage the Almighty in anything and how you handle his blessings and bestowals, because I think we're past the season where we can just give God these talkbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
So I'm going to pray. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. God, we just bless you. You're a sweet king. And so we thank you, Father God. And I thank you for Cynthia. I thank you, Lord, for your relationship with her and her relationship with you. God, I thank you for the conversation that you're going to have with her and for the revelations that she'll get on how to handle the things of the Most High. God, I thank you that from this day forward, she's going to have a different walk, different talk with you. Now she's without a job. We're asking for mercy. We're asking for mercy, God, because you're a merciful God. We're asking for mercy, especially with the enlightenment that she has. And God, I'm asking that you would provide income and provide a residence for her where she's going. And look, most of all, Lord, I thank you that you would take your relationship with this woman to the next level and make her more responsible in the word of faith that you have entrusted in her mouth and the power of God that you would allow to move through her. In Jesus' name, we bless you for doing it, Father. In Jesus' name, we bless you. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
God bless you. Don't forget to give us your email so you can get your code.
Okay, I will do so.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. I receive that blessing.
You will. God bless. Bye-bye. Prophet?
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. God bless. Wow, that was, I think, a sober counsel. Sobering counsel.
All I can say, you know, when we, you know, as we grow, because really the church is in a growth spurt. If I had to give us, you know, just corporately speaking, we're in a growth spurt. God is pushing for our adulthood as much as we are fighting not to have to grow up. You know, we don't want as weighty, as responsible, it's all of those kinds of things. But there is an underlying attitude about who God is that we all have to come to the knowledge of. We have to acknowledge we don't have it, but that he's a person. My word has been God is a person. He is a king. God sits on his throne, and here's how he does it. He nods to his agents. He gives a nod. He gives a yes, or he holds up his hand and says, wait. Those are things that a person does. A system is automated, and it can reproduce and keep going. But a person makes one-on-one individual decisions. And I'll tell you something. When we have pressed God for something a long time, the last thing he wants us to say is it was a mistake. You know, in Ecclesiastes, it says that. I think isn't it Ecclesiastes 5:8? God is very serious about his power. We enjoy it because we only know a little bit. We the kids. You know, but God is serious about his power. He is serious about, as far as reverence, oh, my gosh, he is a serious God. And because he is so laid back and so tender, we kind of forget that he is still a person and he's still a king. And when he engages his powers and engages his resources, that's a big deal because we think God is just a little person. You know, we think he's just this little guy that, you know, what do you say? He's just a little guy. We think he's a sole proprietorship. We think he's something. No, God is a kingdom. He has a whole network and complex of institutions and angels and guardians and levels and whatnot who do his bidding. That's what he said. I talk about all of the angels and all of the things that do his bidding. So when we get his ear, that's a big thing because God, most of all, for the most part, we all run on the system, just like in our country. We all run on the system. When we gain the ear of people of authority, head of state, that's a major achievement. And it's important that we understand that, you know? But for us to treat God like he is this, you know, sole proprietor, this mom and pop operation is where we're stuck. He's not that. He is God of all creation, and he has a whole lot of things that he happens and brings things to bring things to pass for us. So I just wanted to say that because I felt like it was needful for us to say that, because he talked about that it's better not to say in front of the messenger of God it was a mistake. God doesn't want us to do that.
Yeah.
Oops. God's like, figure it out. Work it out before you do that. But he is a person. To everyone who's listening, I want you to just turn it over in your head. If you're sitting at your desk, pick up your pen and just get your little scratch tape and write. Remember, God is a person, not a system. God is a king who rules systems, but God himself is a person. And people, persons, Ashley, I got time for one more, right?
They do. You do. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have Karen from Pennsylvania, and she's calling today because she would like to hear more clearly concerning specific assignments that she has and specific opportunities that she has in her life, and she's feeling scattered right now. So Karen from PA, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Apostle. It's a blessing to be on your line today and speak with you.
Thank you. I'm glad that you are on, Karen from PA. So what is this multitude of decisions you must make?
I don't know if it's so much a multitude. I'm feeling a little pressed as far as hearing clearly from the Lord. I feel the three assignments that I have are ministry, personally, and, you know, in my home life. I'm a single mother of a teenage girl. So I'm trying to really hear clarity in the assignments, get with grace and strategy from God so that I can manage in excellence. I armor bear for a prophet. I also feel that I am pregnant with something for my own testimony to give birth, and I believe that it's related to writing. And it's been spoken over my life so many times, and people just keep putting their finger on it, but I do not have any concept of what I'm to write about. And I feel like it's now, like it's just like I don't know what stage of the birthing process I'm in, but I'm feeling like press. So I actually fasted today for this specific thing, not even remembering that your show was on, the call in today, and the Holy Spirit brought it to me for me to call, and I just was like, oh, she said, press 1 if you want to get on. I was like, okay, click, and, you know, without even thinking about it. So that's kind of where I am. And the other portion of, as an armor bearer, I'm the administrator for this ministry. That's where my gifting is most strong with her. And she's planning a regional prophetic conference for next year. So I'm going to need a lot of grace and strategy in regards to that because she operates in a high level of excellence, and so does our God. So, you know, I want to just walk in his will and his way outside of the box that I have created for him, you know, probably for most of my Christian walk until the last year. So that's where I am.
Well, the first thing I want to say to you is when people start giving you a prophecy over and over again, that's God gestating, and he doesn't mean for you to jump out on it. So that's the first thing I want to say, because I think that what you want to do is begin to prepare yourself to fulfill his word. For example, you say you're the administrator, you're the armor bearer, the first thing I want to say to you is your daughter in ministry with you? I mean, is she active in the church with you, or is she, you know, you do your thing and she does hers?
No, she's been with me by my side in church since she was, you know, what, 2? I haven't been walking with the Lord in excellence or, you know, with the Lord strongly, except for probably the past 5 years. So that would make her 8 or 9 years old when I got it, when the light bulb came on. So she serves in youth ministry in like an administrative capacity, and she's also, you know, does child care in the nursery.
Okay.
So, I don't know if I'm really answering that question or if it's really maybe the answer I want it to be, but that's what it is.
Well, the answer is fine. The first thing I want to say to you is that I'm going to pray for your courage. But understand this. If you're talking about excellence, excellence is not magic. It doesn't come on you like air in your room that you just inhale and exhale. You can get books. You can take training. You can go on the Internet and get some courses and find out how people do it. And they're free. We're not even talking about tutorials more than courses. So the thing that I want you to know, and I'm glad you made this call, Karen. I got to tell you why. Because we have been taught that everything that makes us excellent, that gives us competence and all of that, comes magically. It just, the Holy Spirit just drops it. You know, we're not a smartphone where God just downloads it, our spirit uploads it, and we just go on to work it. That's not it. We are people, and we have to work it. And so your desire to do well is admirable, but don't just think if I'm going to say this prayer and it's going to magically happen. That's not how it works, not in the larger percentage of the time. Now, there are times that God, because his hands are tied and he needs to do something in the moment, and so he will impose that. But God has a whole structure that exists for us to get knowledge. And we're in a country, and God bless the Lord, we're in an era. Hallelujah. We're in an era where we can get information at our fingertips. So if you have this event coming up, then plan for it, but start researching how to. One of my favorite sites is eHow. I absolutely love the eHow site. That's my personal plug. I like it. eHow, because it's quick, the eHow people are fast. It's 1, 2, 3, and whatever you eHow, whatever you want to know how to, they're going to find it. I found very few things that they did not have in there. But just as if you're saying, I don't want to read a lot of books. Now, if you want to get a little more involved, then you go and you get another book about it. Now, we have some good books in Christendom, but we also have some, but some of those tend to fall short because they lean so devotionally or so doctrinally that you almost lose the practical benefit of it. But there are some that are very good that'll teach you how to do it. But this is not going to be magic for you. You're going to have to read a book or go online, take a tutorial so that you can do what you need to do, even in the writing. I have never gotten a prophecy from God that I did not research how it's supposed to play out in my life. Never. I do not take prophecies as if they're mementos and souvenirs. I don't treat my prophecies as souvenirs. I don't treat them as mementos. I treat them as advanced knowledge and inside information on something that's going to happen in my life.
Amen. Oh, I feel like I'm cultivating that right now. I've been, I feel like I've been cultivating that exact thing. Some of the things that he's called me to do administratively, some I don't have some of the tools that I need. And I'm like, well, God, how can you call me to do this? And I need a new laptop because mine just crashed. And, you know, I don't have the liquid funds to just go buy a new one. So we're praying for that. But a lot of the classes I've been doing with Prophet Dwan, she has her virtual book fair. Phenomenal. The timing of it was phenomenal. I'm taking another class with her. So I receive what you're saying. I am not opposed to opening a book. I'm a bibliophile. So
I'm running out of time. If you're going to let me finish.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, because I'm not, but I want to tell you. Now, let's take I love that example. Let's take the laptop. Are you kidding me? There are people who are getting rid of stuff all the time. Here's the key to ministry, and this is a good thing that we're on this phone today, because here's the key. Ministry is your primary ex nihilo. You make everything happen out of nothing. We never have enough money. We never have enough. We never have enough. We never have enough. You're going to have to be strategic. You're going to have to be creative and innovative. You're going to have to go and find out how to make it happen. I can't even tell. People donate things all the time. People give stuff away all the time. Maybe that's what you wanted to get out of this call. I don't know. But I'm telling you, everything you need, If you're committed to making it happen, it's going to happen for you because you're already in motion with it. It'd be different if you weren't in motion. But from what you're telling me, you're already in motion with this. So then go and make it happen. Put out a list. Anybody want to – okay, a minister needs a laptop, needs a source, so people trade up, upgrade all the time. You know, all of those kinds of things. But there are ways of doing it. You're going to make it happen if you're committed. To me, it was attitudinal. I'm going to tell you right now, two-thirds of what I need right now, we've been operating on half a wing, piece of feather for a long time, and you know what? We get it done.
Amen.
We make it happen because the end product is, to us, more motivating than the problem that's trying to stop us. So we are always pushing to produce the end product, and that's what God's going to do with you. You are going to do fine. You just have to come up with just a few more techniques. And I will tell you, but as far as the writing thing, because I know that's a big on you, when God's ready for you to do it, he's going to drop it in your spirit.
Okay.
Because that's all he ever does. He'll drop it in your spirit. And when he does, he'll drop it in your spirit when he knows you can pull it out the way he wants. You won't get it a day before he's convinced and he's assured that you can put it out the way he wants.
Amen.
Let me pray for you. Father, Lord, I thank you for Karen. I thank you for her life. I thank you for her strength. I thank you for her devotion and commitment. And now, Lord, I'm thanking you, Lord, for vision. Give, enlarge her mind. I just see you stretching her brain. Enlarge her mind and let her see with new eyes. Enlarge her spirit for her to really receive from you the way you would do it. Give her fresh vision, God. I keep thinking she needs a fresh eye. Give her a fresh eye to see some things. She needs a fresh eye to look at some things so that she can go forward in what you want her to do. God, take the boundaries off and the limits off. And God, most of all, she there's a fatigue here. God, give her energy. She needs energy, and cause her to connect with people who can give her some advice and counsel in that area. But God, give her energy and give her the joy of her salvation, not just the duty and responsibilities. She's got that, but, Lord, she needs the joy. I keep hearing, God, energy and joy. God, because the enthusiasm will carry us way beyond anything else that we can rely on to get a thing done for you. So I'm thanking you for doing this for her. Bless her daughter. Bless that church and the ministry. Bless the work of her hands. But God, open up her eyes. Let her see. Kind of like Abraham having to see that ram in the thicket. Let her see what you have provided. Let her see what you have done. And then let her see the avenues you've created for her to get every need met in Jesus' name. And we bless you for it, Holy Father. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. God bless you.
God bless you.
Prophet.
Yes, Apostle.
We've come down to the we've done it again.
You've done it again.
We've done it again. How'd I do? Did I get all five of my callers in? 1, 2, 3. Missed one. Well, whoever that fifth one would have been, Ashley, tell them to call in early next week. We'll make them at the top of the list so we can fill in that number. Because you know Prophet D is gonna get me.
Yeah, that's right. I know it. A couple people, but that's okay because they want those issues handled with that time.
Yes, exactly. But, I mean, you know, I could give somebody a crash 30 seconds something, but then for all of that, they could have just gone to a prophetic line, a prophetic presbytery. But I don't want to do that. I have enjoyed the show today. I want to thank every one of you all for tuning in with me. I love you dearly. You know you're important to me. And understand, I want you to succeed. My heart is that you succeed. But the first success that I want you to have is success with the God that you love, God that you've given your soul to, the God that you've entrusted your redemption to. I want you to be successful in Christ, because when you are successful in Christ, life works out. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. What a powerful thing. So when we talk about working, how about this, moving in God's way and learning his way, when we talk about that, hey, please God, and the rest will fall into place for you. I'm convinced of it. Well, Ashley, I think we can close out with a couple of announcements, and because definitely we don't want a flash call. So we'll close out with a couple of announcements. And remember, guys, check me out on Facebook. I like to hear from you guys. Twitter, LinkedIn, hey, and anything else you have, go to PPM Global Resources. Find out how you can take advantage of some of the promotions that we have going. But most importantly, I feel this is the last word I want to say to you today. Be successful in Christ. Succeed with Christ, and everything else will fall into place. God bless you. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counsel and wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.